Okay. Welcome to Shir Ramban Parshas Vaera. So in this week's parsha we find the probably the most famous and oft repeated pasuk in Chumash, which appears for the first time by Dabar Hashem O Moshe Lemar. Hashem said to Moshe saying, appears for the first time in the very beginning of the parsha, Perek Vav, pasuk Yud, by Dabar Hashem O Moshe Lemar, Bo Daber O Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Come and speak to Paro, the king of Egypt. And on that first occurrence of this pasuk, which is again the most ubiquitous pasuk in all of Chumash, the Ramban has an important discussion about just what that pasuk means, being that it's a pasuk which we are very, very familiar with in many contexts. It's probably worthwhile to at least understand what the pasuk means. What do you mean, what does the pasuk mean? Hashem spoke to Moshe, but that's where the rub comes in. What's that word lamar, saying? Right, that's how it's usually translated. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying. And if you took out the word lamar, you know, what damage would it do to the pasuk? So, you know, you might be inclined to say, well, they didn't have quotation marks in the Sefer Torah, so it's just a way of saying, all right, but we probably could have figured that out. If you would have taken out the word lamar from all of the places where it says Hashem spoke to Moshe, and just follow up with what he said, you probably could have taken out the word lamar without doing any damage to our understanding of the pasuk. So what's this lamar? So the Ramban and Pasuk Yud comments as follows. Amru ha-mefarshim. The mefarshim say. So in this particular case, the mefarshim refers to the Radak of David Kimchi, who was a contemporary of the Ramban in Sefer HaShoroshim. So the mefarshim writes, the Radak writes, ki milas lamar b'chol ha-Torah. Whenever you have the word lamar in all of Torah, it's lamar li-Yisrael. The idea is that these are words that you should tell the Jewish people. So in other words, as opposed to Vaydaber Hashem O Moshe, which would have meant Hashem said to Moshe, this is just for you, right? But Vaydaber Hashem O Moshe Lemor means Hashem said to Moshe with the intent that he should convey these words to Klal Yisrael. Lemor, with the intention of saying over. V'atam, that is the reason behind this, Sheyomar Hashem l'Moshe emor liYisrael divrei eile. In general, what it means is Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, tell the Klal Yisrael these words. Uvekan lemor el paro. And in this particular context, the lemor means to say to paro. Because again, if you look in the context over here, Vaydaber Hashem l'Moshe lemor, Hashem said to Moshe saying, Bo daber el paro melech Mitzrayim. Go and speak to Paro, the king of Mitzrayim. So wait a minute, that wasn't what he was told to say to Klal Yisrael. This is obviously a directive to Moshe Rabbeinu himself. So right off the bat, the very first example of Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor doesn't seem to fit the Radak's explanation of what the Lemor is all about. This is not something where Moshe Rabbeinu was told, you know, I'm going to give you a directive to tell to Klal Yisrael. This is Moshe Rabbeinu being given instructions to speak to Paro. So here comes the Ramban and says, well, according to the Radak, you'll have to say that Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Lemor here means Hashem said to Moshe to tell him to say to Paro. But right off the bat, even before we get any further, we can appreciate the difficulty inherent in that explanation, because the very next words are Bo Daber El Paro Melech Mitzrayim. Go speak to Paro. So once you have Bo Daber El Paro Melech Mitzrayim, what do you need the word Lemor for? You know, if the intention is Moshe is told to speak to Paro. Yeah, the next pasuk he's told to speak to Paro. It's a little bit redundant. Similarly, says the Ramban, Vakosiv she'omar, emesh omar elai lemor, enenu bo anachon v'pirish hazeh. Says the Ramban, you'll also run into a problem with Radak's interpretation of the word lemor in the following case, that he's going to go on and list other cases. It says at the end of Parshas Vayetze that when Lavan is running after Yaakov Avinu has just departed the house of Lavan by stealth. He snuck out in the middle of the night. So Lavan catches up to him and he says, you should know, I have the power to hurt you, but Hashem appeared to me in a dream last night, and Emesh Omar Elai Lemar, last night he told me, Lemar, Hishomer Lecha Pentadaberim Yaakov mitov adra. You know, don't say anything to Yaakov Avinu, good, bad. You know, don't start up with Yaakov Avinu. So what's Leimor mean over there? Clearly, that message was Hashem giving a message to Lavan without any intention that Lavan should say it over or convey the contents of that to anyone else. It happens to be that Lavan felt, for whatever reason, that he wanted to share that information with Yaakov Avinu. But that wasn't Hashem's directive. As far as Hashem was concerned, had Yaakov Avinu, had Lavan had the dream and then said, oh, okay, I'll turn around and go back to Haran, from Hashem's perspective, that would have been just fine. You know, Hashem wasn't asking Lavan to tell anything over to Yaakov Avinu. So ask the Ramban on the Radak, so what are you going to do with the Leimor in that pasuk? That Leimor on the surface is not Leimor Lacherim, you know, to say over to someone else. V'chein b'mekomos rabos shiichpo. There are also a lot of examples where Leimor is used, and if Leimor simply means tell this to Klal Yisrael, it also seems redundant. Consider the following pasuk: Vayikra Perek Yudches, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe Leimor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yomarto aleihem. Hashem said to Moshe, Leimor, speak to Klal Yisrael and tell them. Right? So Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yomarto aleihem, according to the Radak, is itself what the word Leimor means. So once you have Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yomarto aleihem, speak to Klal Yisrael and tell them, what do you gain by having the word Leimor? I mean, it seems to be totally redundant. V'chein v'yomer Hashem Moshe Leimor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yomar to aleihem. All you have to do is daven twice a day, and you'll recognize this kasha, this question. Parshas Tzitzis. V'yomer Hashem Moshe Leimor, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yomar to aleihem v'yosu lohem Tzitzis. So here too, Leimor. If Leimor just means say to Klal Yisrael, so what's Daber Bnei Yisrael V'yamar to Aleim? It's really totally redundant. Vayomru El Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael Leimor. Vayomru Bnei Yisrael Moshe Leimor. Hein Govanu. Va'omar Aleichem Bo'es Tahi Leimor. If you start going through Psukim, says the Ramban, you'll find a lot of Leimors which seem to be totally redundant if they simply mean to say to other people. Va'omar Aleichem Bo'es Tahi Leimor. Just to take his last example. I said to you, says Moshe Rabbeinu to Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu is reviewing the events of the last 40 years at the end of his life, and he says, at that time, I said to you, Leimor, saying, what's the Leimor? I said to you to say to you? I mean, what does that mean according to the Radak? V'chein besod hazeh, v'chein besader hazeh, in our parsha as well, a little bit later on, v'yomer Hashem al Moshe v'yel Aaron Leimor, Ki yedaber aleichem para leimor, right? A little bit later on in Perek Zayin, so Hashem speaks to Moshe and Aaron leimor, and he says, when Paro comes and says, Tnu lochem mofes, why don't you prove to me with a sign, you know, with some kind of miracle that you guys are on the money, you know, that you're actually sent by Hashem to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, right? So there too, the word leimor is used. But Moshe and Aaron are not being given instructions to tell anything to anyone else. They're being given instructions as to what to do when Paro asks them for a sign. So, again, the word Leimor, according to the Radak, just doesn't fit in all of these contexts. So what does it mean? Right? So we're stuck. The most ubiquitous pasuk in Chumash, and we don't know how to translate it. V'nachon be'enai, what seems correct to me, says the Ramban, is kimilas leimor lahoros al birur ha'inyon b'chol makom. The word leimor is a term which the Torah uses to express clarity. And he goes on to explain. Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe ba'amira gmura lo amira mesupekes. It means that when Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu or to whoever it happens to be, the communication was a clear communication, not a communication that could be misunderstood or misperceived in any way. V'lo b'remez davar, not with hints, not with innuendo or anything like that. Leimar means a clear expression. And therefore, v'lochach yasmid zeh b'chol ha-Torah. That's why we find this word lemor repeated over and over again in all of Chumash. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe lemor. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe lemor. Ki nevuas Moshe peh el peh yidaber v'ovu lo b'chidos. Because as we know, you know, the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu directly, without riddles, without signs, without hints, without, you know, sounds like, you know, he didn't play any games with him. The communications to Moshe Rabbeinu were crystal clear. And that's really the translation, according to the Rabban, of Vayidaber Hashem o Moshe Lemor. Hashem spoke to Moshe clearly, right? Unambiguously. That's what the word Lemor means, you know, in all of these contexts. So now let's go back and plug that in to some of the contexts where the Ramban mentioned, you know, the word Lemor and said that it just doesn't make sense to say Lemor means to say to somebody else. Lavan Omar came to Yaakov, Emesh Omar Hashem Eli Lemor. Let's go back to the example of Lavan, right? Lavan catches up to Yaakov after Yaakov Avinu has run away from Lavan, and he says, you know, I'd be prepared to hurt you, right? Were it not for the fact that Hashem appeared to me last night, Lemor. What's Lemor? So says the Ramban, Lemor means Ba'amira Brura. God was clear and unambiguous when he appeared to me. Shelo azik lochem. As Lavan says to Yaakov, I should not harm you in the slightest. Kilulei kein, hoyisi osei imochem ra. Had it not been for God's unambiguous words and communication to me that I shouldn't start up with you, believe me, says Lavan, I'd come here with my crowbar, and you know we'd take you out. You know, I mean, I don't want to think about what I'd be ready to do with you. But Hashem was unambiguous when He spoke to me. Emesh Amar Eli Lemor. He said to me in no uncertain terms. That's the way we'd say it in English, right? He said to me in no uncertain terms, "Don't harm Yaakov Avinu." V'chein. Vayomu b'nei Yisrael el Moshe v'el Aaron lemor. It applies in other contexts as well. After the fall of the rebellion of Korach, and after the 250 men are consumed by the fire, and all the, you know, all of the attempts to unseat Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen are met with defeat. So the pasuk describes how Klal Yisrael turned to Moshe and Aaron. They say, "Vayomu b'nei Yisrael Moshe v'el Aaron lemor, hein govanu." Kulanu avadnu, right? Behold, we are dying, all of us are lost. So what's lemor? Right? They say to Moshe and Aaron, lemor. So again, this was one of the kashas the Ramban had on the Radak. According to the Radak, lemor means to say to others. But clearly that's not what it means over here. The Klal Yisrael said to Moshe and Aaron that Moshe and Aaron should say this to somebody else. Well, who are they saying it to? Right? No, they're going and kvetch. They went to the top. They went and kvetch to Moshe and Aaron themselves. So, you know, who's it to say to? No. They said to Moshe and Aaron lemar, they said to them clearly and strongly, Shahayu omrim lahem kein b'feirush. They did not beat around the bush when they said, hein govanu avadnu kulanu avadnu. Right? We are dying. We are being lost. All of us are being destroyed. You know, they weren't pussyfooting around the issue. They were being very, very direct, clear with Moshe Rabbeinu. V'tzoakim lohem begilui ponim. And they were yelling at Moshe and Aaron openly, without, you know, without holding anything back. Ki amakar lebirur ha'inyan pam muktam. Pam meuchar, kama omrim emor lemenatzai. Right? So sometimes, you know, that word is used earlier in the pasuk, sometimes it's used later in the pasuk, but the bottom line is, lemor means a certain clarity of expression, a clarity of communication that leaves no room for ambiguity, and that's by Yadaber Hashem o Moshe lemor. What emerges, according to this Ramban, is something which I think intuitively we knew already, but now the word lemor makes it very, very clear. You know, the Torah again and again is communicating to us that the Torah itself, you know, the dictates of Torah which were revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu were revealed in a fashion which was unambiguous. And the truth is that really is the cornerstone of our emuna in so many ways. Because imagine a person, in theory, could make the following argument. A person could say, it's true that the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu. I believe that. But who says that Moshe Rabbeinu got it right or heard it right? Right? And the truth is, if one were to question not only the revelation of HaKadosh, even if you accepted the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if you were to question the degree to which Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah properly, right? So that undermines Kol HaTorah Kula, that mamish undermines everything. Right? I mean, imagine, you know, I'll say it a little bit flippantly, but, you know, imagine Moshe Rabbeinu is at Har Sinai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, mix milk and greet, right? You're not supposed to drink milk and greet people at the same time. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, oh, don't mix milk and meat. I got it, Ribbono Shel Olam, right? Again, it's silly, obviously, but in other words, you know, part of our emunah in the veracity of Torah is not just that the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed it, it's that Moshe Rabbeinu got it, right? That, you know, the revelation was clear and unambiguous. So according to the Ramban, every time that it says, Vaydabra Hashem Moshe Leimor, the whole point of that Leimor is to say that the revelation itself was unambiguous. It left itself to no question. Moshe Rabbeinu got exactly what the Ribbono Shel Olam was trying to communicate to him, because there was no room for misinterpretation on any level. So that, you know, that word Leimor now really becomes a core. It's not just, you know, another word that we have all the time. It becomes a cornerstone of our emuna in a very, very significant kind of fashion. So that's, I want to start off with that tonight. Yeah.
So,
right, so the truth is, I think that's the whole idea of the Torah Shebaal Peh, meaning Leimor hints at the whole existence of a Torah Shebaal Peh, because otherwise, Vilsulahem Sitzis. So what is that? So in other words, included in the word Leimor is, you know, it's this number, this many strings, and this many knots, and this is how you do it, you know, this. All the stuff that isn't spelled out explicitly in the Pasuk itself is all contained implicitly in that word Leimor. There was a clarity that was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu, which gives us confidence that what we're doing is what was shown to Moshe Rabbeinu back in the day. Okay, so that's start off for tonight, and I guess that's a vort you can use almost any parsha, so that works out pretty well. I want to start looking at a Ramban, where the Ramban soon thereafter, really the next Ramban, starts talking about an issue which you encounter when you go through the Psukim on a Pshat level, which is a little bit ambiguous. So, towards the beginning of the Sedra, again, that same section, Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimor, Hashem says to Moshe, unambiguously, as we've just explained, Bo daber el Paro Melech Mitzrayim, come and speak to Paro, the king of Egypt, Vishalachus b'nei Yisrael me'arzo, and he will send forth the Jewish people from his land. So first of all, what's new in this Pasuk that we haven't encountered before? I mean, back in Parsha Shmos, Moshe Rabbeinu spent a whole week conversing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the Sneh, by the burning bush, HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling him that he should go speak to Paro and, you know, ask Paro to let the Jewish people go free from his land. So, you know, this Pasuk really seems like been there, done that. You know, in other words, this is a Pasuk that, you know, an idea which has been revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu already. It seems a little bit odd that it's being introduced over here. And then Moshe Rabbeinu's response is also odd. Vaydaber Moshe lefnei Hashem leimor. Moshe says before Hashem unambiguously, right, as the Ramban told us, Hein b'nei Yisrael oshamu elai. Behold, b'nei Yisrael didn't listen to me, right? He had tried to convince them that they were going to go free from Egypt. Ve'eich yishmoini paro. How on earth is Paro going to listen to me? Vani arau sposoyim. I am uncircumcised of lips. In other words, whatever that means exactly, I'm not good at speaking. Right? So I'm going to go to Paro. How am I going to convince Paro when, you know, I can't really speak properly? So this is already, this notion that Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Ribono Shel Olam, I can't speak properly, is already something which was also mentioned in last week's parsha in Sefer Shmos, when they're having the whole discussion by the Sneh. This is Perek Dalet Pasuk Yud. Vayomer Moshe Hashem, Bi Adokai Lo Ish Dvarim Anochi. Please God, I'm not a man of words. Ki Chvad Peh Chvad Loshem Anochi. I'm heavy of mouth. I'm heavy of tongue. I'm not going to be able to speak properly. So Hashem says back to him, look, I'll be with you. Vanochi Eya Impicho Vahoristicho Asher Tadaber. I'll be with your mouth, and I'll enable you to speak. So whatever that conversation was back and forth, we've resolved that issue. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu has already gone once to Paro and has encountered Paro. So what's Moshe Rabbeinu all of a sudden sort of backtracking and bringing up an issue that was already brought up and dealt with on some level back in Sefer Shmos? What's going on over here? It seems like, you know, we're just going back to what we had before. Right, so that could be one way of looking at it. You know, Kvad Peh, Kvad Lashon, and Aral Sfasayim maybe are two different things, but then you'd have to try to explain what they are that are different. In other words, it sounds like they're the same basic idea. I can't speak very well, you know, whatever it means. And why, if Aral Sfasayim is a new issue, how come that wasn't an issue back, you know, then? So the Ramban tries to put this together just to help us understand the pshat over here. And he says as follows. This is on Pasuk Yud-Beis. Hey, B'nai Yisrael, Hashem Uelai. Moshe says to Ribono Shel Olam, Klal Yisrael did not listen to me. Ki lo asiso devorai nishmoim lohem. You, Hashem, promised that you would be with me, but apparently you weren't with me because I tried to speak to Klal Yisrael and they didn't listen to me. Ve'ech yishmoini paro. And I doubt that Paro will listen to me, because if I can't convince Klal Yisrael, how am I going to convince Paro? I'm not fit to speak before a great king like Paro. So perhaps what that means is as follows. Moshe Rabbeinu said, why didn't Klal Yisrael listen to me? Because I'm not so great. I'm not such a great speaker. You are al sfosayim. V'lo yochin l'daber al libam dvarim tovim, dvarim nichumim, afki daber l'paro. It's interesting to note how the Ramban defines this idea of al sfosayim. Was Moshe Rabbeinu's inability to speak something that stems from a physical defect? Or was he saying just, I'm not, you know, when somebody says, I'm not a speaker, you know, it usually means not that they're not physically capable of speaking. It means that, you know, they don't have, you know, the gift of being able to express themselves. They're not expressive, right? So the Ramban seems to understand when Moshe Rabbeinu says to, you know, to the Ribono Shel Olam, I'm aral sfosayim, what it means is not that he was physically, you know, defective in any way, that he couldn't speak, but rather he just said, I'm not an expressive person. I couldn't find the right words, you know, to be able to convince the people properly. The time I cost of who kimitchilo lo tzivo so shiyadaber hu al paro rak omar uvosa ato vizikna yisrael o melch mitzrayim v'amartem elof. So, says the Ramban, the way to read the psukim is as follows. You go back to the previous parsha in Shmos, so the Ribono Shel Olam says to Moshe Rabbeinu, again you have it back in Perek Gimel. Is it? In Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yud Ches, you'll go to the Zekanim, Vishamu Lekolecha, the Zekanim will listen to you. You and the elders will go to the king of Egypt. Elov. And you, plural, will say to Paro, you know, Hashem has come to me, Hashem has come to us, actually, Aleinu, and now we want to leave Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu assumes, and rightfully so, who's doing the talking? It's the Kenyan. Right? Va'amartem Elov, and you, plural, should say to Paro. Right? It sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu is not really doing much. There's the Ramban. Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, he's the gadol, you know, he's the impressive personality, but, you know, as they put it today, the askanim, you know, will do all of the talking. They'll be the ones who will talk to Paro. V'hayubosh l'miladavir gamel ha'am v'amar lo ish dvarim anochi. And then later on, so in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu never thought in a million years that he was going to be the spokesman when they went to Paro. And then later on in Perek Dalet, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that you're going to go to the people, right? You know, so you'll go to the people, and Moshe Rabbeinu asks, what sign will I give them? Hein lo yaminu li, velo yishmu b'koli. How are the people going to listen to me? So to that, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ribbono Shel Olam, I feel uncomfortable speaking to the people. Lo ish dvarim anochi. I'm not so expressive. I'm not so talented. His concern was about the fact that he wouldn't be able to speak to the people properly. He never dreamed that HaKadosh Baruch was asking him to speak to Paro. To that, the Ribbono Shel Olam replies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Shiva, v'diber hu lecha el ha'am. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to that is, I'll send you Aaron, and Aaron will speak to the people. And that's indeed what happened. V'chein osta b'vor mitzchila k'mo sha'amar, v'daber Aaron es kol advarim ha'eila asher diber Hashem el Moshe, v'yaz ha'osos l'einei ha'om. Right? It's when Moshe and Aaron first come to the people, Aaron is described in the Chumash as being the one who speaks. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, great, I got off the hook. There's the Kenim are going to speak to Paro. Aaron's going to speak to the people. Everything is wonderful. V'ata kasher nitzpava Moshe lochein emor levnei Yisrael ani Hashem. So now that Moshe Rabbeinu was being talked to the beginning of Vo'era, go tell Klal Yisrael, I am Hashem. Diber hu lahem ba'asmo kasher tzivahu v'lo shamu elov. So now Moshe Rabbeinu was emboldened at the beginning of Parshas Vo'era. Hashem says, go tell Klal Yisrael that I'm going to take them out of Mitzrayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu, for the first time, goes himself and speaks to Klal Yisrael, and it's a flop. And they don't listen to him at all. So now, he goes back to Kasher Chazav and Sivah Osol Adaber Al Paro. So now what happens? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, guess what? You know, you tried out speaking to Klal Yisrael, now I want you to speak to Paro, not to Zekanim. I want you to go and speak to Paro. So says Moshe Rabbeinu back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Wait a minute. The original plan was the Kenim speak to Paro, Aaron speaks to the people. That worked okay the first time. Now you're telling me, you told me that I should go and speak to the people. That didn't work. Now you're telling me to speak to Paro? That's for sure. Is not going to work. If my foray into the world of speaking, to speak to the people, didn't work, why do I think that my foray into the world of speaking, to speak to Paro, is going to work? That's not going to work at all. So to that, the Ribbono Shel Olam says back, no, okay, I'll send Aaron with you to Paro also. You don't need the Zekanim, you'll go with Aaron, and that's going to work out. And to that, Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, I'm fine with that. That's why, says the Ramban, all of this discussion is not repetition back and forth. It's not the same old problem that he had back then, but now all of a sudden Moshe Rabbeinu was being asked to speak directly to Paro, something which at least in Moshe Rabbeinu's mind he was never asked to say at any previous point. Just one last point before we dive in Ma'ariv. Perhaps, although the Ramban doesn't address it directly, maybe this is the explanation as to why back in Shmos he speaks about the fact that he's Kfad Pen and Kfad Lashon versus now he's speaking about being Aral Sposayim. It basically is the same thing. So why is he using two different languages to describe his his fear or his inability to speak. It could be, according to the Ramban, you know, there's some people who have trepidation in private conversations, and there's a whole different level of being afraid of public speaking. Originally, in Parsha Shmos, according to the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu was being asked to speak to his own, to speak to his people. He says, you know, I'm kvad peh, kvad loshon. I can't get the words out so well. But now you're telling me I have to go and speak to Paro? That's not just kvad peh, kvad loshon. That's aral sosayim. That's like a whole different level of my reluctance to speak. Right? So that also, though he doesn't address it directly, could perhaps explain these two things. We'll pick up, as Hashem, a little bit of a continuation after we dive in Ma'ariv, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer. Welcome to the second half of the Ramban and Parshas Vo'era. The piece I want to do during the second half is really a continuation in many ways of the piece we just did, where the Ramban explains the seeming redundancy and repetition involved in the psukim in the beginning of the parasha, Perek Vav, psukim Yud through Yud Beis. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, go speak to Paro. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, Klal Yisrael didn't listen to me. How's Paro going to listen to me? After all, I'm Aral Sfosayim. After all, I'm uncircumcised of lips. I don't speak very well. Okay, so the Ramban explained why that wasn't the repetition of a very similar kind of conversation that had taken place back in Parsha Shmos. But then we keep reading in the Parsha, and in the next Perek, or towards the end of that Perek, Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf Tes, we then read the following. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe Leimar, Ani Hashem. Hashem says to Moshe, clearly, I am Hashem. Daber O Paro Melech Mitzrayim, Eiskol Asher Ani Dover Eilecha. Go and speak to Paro, the king of Egypt, all the things that I'm telling you. Vayomer Moshe lifnei Hashem, so Moshe says before Hashem, Hein ani aral sfosayim, ve'eich yishma ilai Paro. Behold, I am uncircumcised of lips, how is Paro ever going to listen to me? And to quote someone who wasn't quite one of the Rishonim, it's deja vu all over again. It's, you know, these are mamish, Mamash, what we just read, you know. So what's going on over here? Go to Paro. I can't go to Paro. I can't speak. We've been there, done that. We took care of that already. What's this repetition over here? So Rashi on these psukim basically says this is a repetition. There is nothing new that's being added in these psukim that fundamentally did not exist in the previous psukim. Rashi on these psukim, Chavtes writes, "Vaydaber Hashem, Hu Adibur Atzma HaOmer LeMaila." This is exactly just a repetition of what it says earlier. Bodaber El Paro Melch Mitzrayim. So the Torah doesn't repeat. So what's it doing? Being repeating? Elamitoch Shehivstiko Inyan Kdei Liachsam. Since again, if you look in the Chumash, this whole stretch has been a detailed account of the genealogy, particularly of Shevet Levi. So, you know, there was an interruption. So, Chazar Olav Lahaskil Bo. So, in a sense, you know, the Torah does a little bit of a repetition to pick up where we left off. You know, when we last left our heroes, this was what was being discussed. You know, Paro, Moshe Rabbeinu was reluctant to go to Paro. He was Aral Sfosayim. He didn't want to go. He's on, you know, he didn't speak well. It's all a repetition. And on the next pasuk in Lamed, Vayomer Moshe lefnei Hashem, Moshe said before Hashem, Rashi again says, Ki ho amira she'amar lemaila. This is exactly the same thing that was said earlier. Vishono hakosuf kan, kevan shehivstiko inyon. It's simply repeated over here because we had the interruption of the genealogy as presented here in the Chumash. Vekach hi hashita. And this is the way things are. In other words, this is the approach of the Torah. Ka'adam ha'omer nachzor al rishonos. Just like a person says, you know, okay, let's just review what we were talking about earlier, and then we'll go on. You know, it's a good method in teaching. You know, it's a good method in conversation. Let's summarize. Let's review. Let's talk about what we were talking about before. You know, that's exactly what's going on over here. So you have a very, according to Rashi, you have a very, you know, fascinating phenomena. The Torah, which is so utterly careful about every word and every letter, and you know, we don't want to waste and say anything extraneous. Basically, there are two psukim and chumash which are totally repeated, really just for the sake of catching us up and reminding us where we were before the interruption of the genealogy. The Ramban is not happy with this at all. Not happy with this. The Ein Kein Daiti. This is in the middle of the Ramban's comments to Pasuk Yud Gimel. I don't think this is correct. The Ramban, I think, couldn't abide the notion that there would be, you know, two psukim that are just repeated just for the sake of, you know, keeping the, you know, reminding us where we were. You want to remember where we were, look back, you know, turn some pages. You know, the Torah doesn't need to repeat psukim in order, you know, to accommodate our terrible memories. Kasher, so I think what Pshat is as follows, says the Ramban. And again, this just develops the storyline a little bit further. Kasher Siva Hashem is Moshe Ladabro B'nei Yisrael, Lochein Emor L'Bnei Yisrael, V'Asa Kein V'Lo Shamu Oilav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Moshe Rabbeinu, go speak to Klal Yisrael. He did. They didn't listen to him. Chazav et Siva Oso Shiyavo Parvo V'Yisrave Oso L'Shalcham. Right? As he said before, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, go to Paro and tell Paro to let the Jewish people go. V'Oz Onohu. And at that time, as we saw, Moshe Rabbeinu answers back and he says, "Hey, Bnei Yisrael lo shamu elai." So, you know, Pyro's not going to listen to me because Bnei Yisrael didn't listen to me. Right? So, what was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to that? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to that, says the Ramban, appears in Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vaydaber Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon. Right? Well, again, follow the Ramban through as he's explained all the psukim. Originally, Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem going to Paro as long as he wasn't the one speaking. Right? I'll go to Paro as part of the entourage. You know, I'll be like, you know, the Halakha Gadol. You know, they're going to be walking on my side. I'll have this long beard. I'll be very impressive, you know. But the Zakenim are going to actually speak. And Aaron will actually speak to the people. You know, but you want me? I'm not a speaker. That's not my thing. You know, I'm not a speaker. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, fine, I hear you. I'll send you and Aaron to Paro. Vayitzaveim. Vaydaber Hashem Moshe v'el Aaron. Vayitzaveim. He commands them to go to Bnei Yisrael and to Paro. Fine. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, good. You brought an Aaron into the picture. We go back to the original plan. I'll go. I'll look holy, I'll look impressive, and Aaron will do all the speaking. I am totally, totally comfortable with that. In fact, v'choshev Moshe kishneim yisnabu b'chol ha'oso, s'shneim yovo, el b'nei Yisrael v'el paro. V'day sh'yedaber el echad, we'll go, two of us, but only one of us will do the speaking. K'idarko shayim shluchim sh'archi v'daber v'asheri yacharish. It's not unusual, two people go on a mission, one of them's the talker, the other one is the presence. I mean, his bias was there, so he was happy with that. The Chazar Hashem. So what's going on now? So now there's a next stage, and that's what these psukim that we're reading now at the end of Perek Vav are not, according to the Ramban, a repetition, not like Rashi says, but they're a new stage in the development of the conversation between Moshe Rabbeinu and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem starts off telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Ani Hashem. Yeah, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. Yeah, we got that. what's being added by Hashem saying, Ani Yudke Vavke, Ani Havayo? So, explains the Rabban, Haniglo Lecho Levadcho Ledaber Bishmi Agadol. Remember, we talked about this last week, Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu something about the name Yudke Vavke, which was uniquely revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, Ani Hashem, I am that God who appeared to you with this name, which is your unique name. So guess what, Moshe Rabbeinu? You and Aaron are going to Paro. That's fine. But it's not like, you know, Aaron's doing the talking. Aaron's your moral support. You're the one who has all the secrets of Yudke Vavke. You're the one who should be speaking to Paro. And that Daber Paro El Paro Melch Mitzrayim Eis Kol Asher Ani Dover Eilecha. You, Daber, you, singular, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, should speak to Paro, everything that I've told you. Ki l'cha yihyeh hadibros kulam lo l'aron imach. I'm not going to have Aaron speak to Paro. You're the man. You're the person who knows all of this intimate knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're the right one to speak to Paro. For oscha asisti shliach el Paro. I made you a shliach. You're the one who should be speaking. So now, this is again, Moshe Rabbeinu says, wait a minute, you're changing the goalposts on me. This isn't fair. The plan was we would both go and Aaron would speak. Right? Not that we would both go and I would speak. You know? What was the point of that? Az on of Moshe Panacheres. So comes Moshe Rabbeinu again. And he says, Heinani Aral Sfosayim. Well, wait a minute. This is not the same complaint that he had before. This is a new complaint. Good, so you're sending me with Aaron to be my moral support. But you still want me to speak. I'm not comfortable with that. What's that? In which pasuk? In Yud Gimel?
No, the second time they said,
I don't know. I don't know how you have to figure out how it relates back to the previous discussion. I don't know. It's a good kasha. So to that, Hashem answers in the beginning of Perek Zayin. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, also without a lemor. Hashem says to Moshe, Re'ein istaticha Elohim lefaro, v'aron ochicho yiyeh neviyecha. Right? I have made you an Elohim to Paro, and Aaron will be your Navi. What do these words mean? So he explains, Ato tovo elefonovim Aaron, you'll go to Paro with Aaron. Vishom titzava es Aaron, vol yishma Paro dvorecha. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, have to be the conduit who will receive the words from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because you have that connection that Aaron doesn't have. But I'll make you the following concession. You won't have to speak to Paro directly. You get the words from Hashem. You'll be the God, so to speak. In other words, the one who is giving over the revelation. But then you'll give the words to Aaron, and Aaron will actually speak to Paro. Ve'lo yishma Paro dvarecha, ve'aron b'shlichu scha yashmienu dvarecha. Aaron will convey the words that you get from Hashem to Paro. So there'll be like a chain. Hashem to Moshe, Moshe to Aaron, Aaron to Paro. Kasher ho Elokim mitzav le'novi. Just as God speaks to the Navi, so too you will speak to Aaron. Va'Navi mashmia dvarav mochiach bohem. Right? And the Navi will be the one who actually talks to the people directly. So that's a final concession, so to speak, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? Okay, you still have to be the one who receives the words from me, but you can then tell them to Aaron, and Aaron can tell them to Paro directly.
Who's the Navi?
It's just by way of analogy. In other words, just as God speaks to a Navi, the Navi speaks to the people, so here, because Baruch is going to speak to Moshe, and Moshe will speak to Aaron, and Aaron will speak to Paro. No, there's no actual Navi. Right? It's just by way of analogy. The truth is, this whole back and forth speaks volumes about the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu. Zacha bo ba'anvas fanuso, shayobosh l'daber ba'arlas tfasof. Right, so Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moshe Rabbeinu on the one hand could have said, "Yeah, I'd love to, I'll be the spokesman speaking to Paro. That's awesome." But you see, at every point in the way, not just once, but multiple times, Moshe Rabbeinu is ducking to get out. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu sincerely believes that he doesn't have the talent to be able to properly convince Paro to let the Jewish people go. Right? Aaron's a much better speaker. That's just not my thing. I'm not talented enough to be I'm not an orator. I'm not a speaker to be able to convince Paro to let the Jewish people go. V'chein Omer. So because of this anivus, and it's, by the way, it's not false anivus. It is not false humility. Moshe Rabbeinu sincerely believes, and we assume that he was right, that as an orator he wasn't particularly equipped. And, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, you're right. And, therefore, I'll let Aaron do it. So, as response to that, we read later on, right before you see us Mitzrayim, Gam ho'ish Moshe gadol ma'od be'eretz Mitzrayim be'enei avdei Paro ve'enei ha'am. Moshe Rabbeinu was very great in the eyes of Paro's servants and in the eyes of the nation. Why do we care? They liked Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't like Moshe Rabbeinu, they respected Moshe Rabbeinu. Klal Yisrael have to get out of Mitzrayim. That's all that really matters. The fact that the Egyptians really think highly of Moshe Rabbeinu is really neither here nor there. It's really kind of irrelevant, Pretty soon Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be gone. So whether they like him or think highly of him or, want to praise him to the skies, it doesn't matter. What's the point of that pasuk, says the Ramban? Says the Ramban, that's the reward Moshe Rabbeinu got. you displayed your humility. So in the end of the day, you displayed your humility led to your being granted this incredible cover that the entire Egyptian nation looked upon Moshe Rabbeinu as a great person, because when a person is truly humble, it actually causes people to recognize his greatness. That's the Ramban writes, you know, in the end of the day, the whole reason that pasuk is there is to teach us how Moshe Rabbeinu was rewarded, midah keneged midah, his great humility was ultimately recognized, led to his greatness being recognized by the Egyptian population at large, right? The expression goes, if you run away from kavod, so kavod will run after you in the end of the day. You know, in the end of the day, Moshe Rabbeinu, his anivus, you know, was recognized and led to his godless, as being seen as an incredibly wonderful person. Okay, we'll pick up Ezra Hashem next week with Parashas Bo, and we wish.